This is the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Kara Bishop with Plains Cotton Growers. First, U.S. Forest Service entomologist Sky Stevens on plant pest transfer.
When I lived in Colorado, I lived right along the Front Range outside of Fort Collins. And in the mid-2000s, we had a significant outbreak of mountain pine beetle, which is actually a native pest in that area. I was working for the State Forest Service at the time, and we got a call from the far eastern plains communities in Colorado saying, we've got dying trees, what's happening? So as an expert for the state, I went out, and what I discovered was a significant amount of firewood that had moved from the mountains in Colorado to the plains in Colorado and moved with it that pest, mountain pine beetle, and some other associated bark beetles. And the tree mortality, far removed from the actual outbreak event, was associated with the insects that moved in that firewood.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Kara Bishop. Kara is with Plains Cotton Growers. They're headquartered in Lubbock. And by the way, it is called the Hub City, but this is interesting because really it's the hub of the U.S. cotton industry, which has moved to the West. At one time, that hub was, one might say, Memphis, but really the majority of the cotton production now is west of Memphis in Texas. And Kara, Plains Cotton Growers represents a huge portion of the U.S. cotton industry. For those who don't know who PCG is and what you do, what's the elevator speech?
Well, generally, it's that we are the certified producer organization for the Texas High Plains, which is 42 counties in the Panhandle and Southern High Plains of Texas. That 42-county area is responsible for 50 to 60% of the state's cotton production, 25 to 35% of the nation's cotton production, and 3 to 5% of the world's cotton production. So if we don't have a crop, everybody suffers. We have a major impact on cotton production in the United States. And so we were established in 1956 to promote and protect the interests of Texas High Plains cotton producers. So we are formed by producers for producers, and that's what we do through our four pillars of legislation, research, promotion, and service. How's that?
Perfect. Hit it right on the head. By the way, you can learn more about Plains Cotton Growers online at plainscotton.org. All right. So you kind of waded off into this. 2024, we saw higher production across the region than we saw the previous years. Was that a positive overall for the infrastructure, i.e. the ability to keep the infrastructure? So we're talking about gins being able to gin cotton and warehouses being able to house cotton.
Yeah, we've had some reports from warehousers and from the classing office and from some gins that we did have more cotton this year. We're still short, obviously, but the Lubbock classing office did estimate 1.9 million bales, which is pretty short for our area. But he has adjusted it twice since then, and we're now sitting at 1.98. So we'll take everything we can get. The warehouser that I talked to, you know, he's reported that he has a lot more cotton stored right now than he did last year, and definitely more than the year before. So we've got more. I wouldn't say that it's saving infrastructure by any means. I think three short years are three short years, regardless of if it's a little higher this year. We're still in a major crisis mode as far as the ag economy is concerned with production agriculture, especially in cotton, because as we have talked before, the way the cotton industry is set up, it is all based on volume. And there's not a whole lot of diversity because it is just cotton. So it's not like a grain elevator where you have other crops you can depend on. You either have cotton as a cotton gin or cotton warehouse, or you don't. So that's kind of where we're at right now. I would say that everybody's trying to be positive right now, given the fact that we had some economic assistance passed in the continuing resolution at the end of December. So that's a positive note, but until we get a farm bill that reflects today's current cost of production, we're going to continue to be in this crisis mode just a little bit. Every little bit of economic assistance is going to help, but it in no way makes anybody whole. So something's got to give. We got to have some weather cooperate with us. We got to have some cotton demand. Market price needs to be adequate compared to input cost. You know, all those things that are, most of them outside of farmers' control, need to kind of fall into place for 2025. And I'm not sure, I don't have a magic crystal ball, but I hesitate to say that that's going to happen. You don't want to scare it off or jinx it, but something needs to happen in 2025 that gives us a little more stability as an industry.
Okay. Let's look towards 2025, and something that happens really right at the front end, just before you start planting, widespread planting across the region, is your annual meeting, Plains Cotton Growers Annual Meeting, one of the biggest gatherings of cotton producers across the country. Have you got everything in ink, or is it still penciling the 2025 meeting?
We're still working on a couple of T's and dotting a couple of I's, but we're feeling pretty good about where we're at right now for our 2025 annual meeting. It is scheduled for April 1st, 2025, and that is not a fool's day joke. It will be April 1st. We're excited to have it back at the Overton Hotel and Conference Center in Lubbock, Texas again. We are excited to provide some education, some encouragement to get everybody on board and get us going for the next crop year. We do have our keynote speaker selected. He's an interesting guy. He is a big city photographer, and his name is Paul Mobley, and he was taking a sabbatical from work because he was just kind of burned out, and that didn't work out for him because he ended up photographing a farmer and getting kind of addicted to agriculture photography. So he did 100,000-mile trek across the nation photographing farmers in their environments. And he even got some Texas cotton farmers in there, which is really cool. And he has a presentation about the lessons he has learned from production agriculture, which I think is a very encouraging spin on the urban perspective of rural America. More often than not, we assume that the urban side doesn't really respect the rural side, or doesn't relate to it, doesn't understand it, and vilifies it. And a lot of our rural America friends have a reason to feel that way, because that does happen. There are bad apples in every bunch, but I do think that there's more appreciation on the urban side than we acknowledge. And so I am happy to bring that at lunch. He's going to have some beautiful photographs, really show an appreciation for farming, because the whole point of this event this year for 2025 is to remember why we keep moving forward. Sometimes when you're in these low moments, and I would consider the cotton industry in a valley rather than on top of a mountain at right now, the last 3 years of production, it's hard to remember why you keep doing it. It can be very hard to remember why you keep going. And so we're going to look back on we're going to have some nostalgic moments that we reflect on. We're going to look at the struggles that others in the past went through. This is not new to the cotton industry. While it is hard, there are other eras before ours that were equally as hard. We're going to look at some of that. And we're going to just look back in appreciation of how far we have come as an industry and how much further we can move forward, and the joy in doing that. And so that's what Paul Mobley is going to bring to us at lunch. And then we're also going to have the National Cotton Council chairman. His name is Joe Nicosia. He's been a cotton merchant since in the 80s, and he is going to talk about U.S. cotton competitiveness. He had a very impactful presentation when he was in Australia about where U.S. cotton sits in the marketplace, and I just thought that is a great presentation to bring to us so we can see where we fit on a global scale and what improvement we can make and how we can make those improvements, and what we can look forward to in terms of being a competitive commodity in the U.S. And across the globe. So we've got that going on. We have some breakout sessions. StoneX is coming back to do their cotton marketing and hedging workshop with us. They are a platinum sponsor, and we are so grateful for their support. And they will be doing their marketing and hedging workshop that afternoon. We'll also have a breakout session on how the local economy is impacted by the ag industry. I think sometimes that's a good connection to make, because maybe not everybody understands just how vital their role is as agriculturalists in the local economy. We're also going to have a young producer panel talking about managing an operation in 2025 as young producers who don't quite maybe have the equity that veteran producers have had, or, you know, are just trying to stay going in these challenging moments. And we're going to have the Farm Hope Workshop, which is a partnership between Tiffany Lashmit and Michaela Smith. Tiffany Lashmit is the ag law guru for Texas A&M AgriLife, and Michaela Smith is the extension agent for mental health. She focuses on mental health a lot. And so we're going to talk about the legal issues that affect ag, but also how we can take care of our mental health. I don't think it's any secret that farmer suicide is a major concern. It is 3.5 times greater rate than the general population. And if we don't start talking about it, it's going to get worse than that. And so I'm a big advocate for talking about mental health matters. And so I'm excited that they're going to come bring this Farm Hope Workshop for us. I really think it's going to be an uplifting and practical resource that we can use as a literal tool for protecting our mental health in agriculture. So that's kind of what we have outlined. And of course, our president, Travis Myers, he's producer in O'Donnell, Texas. He is going to do our president's report for us. And of course, Cody Besant, the CEO of our organization, will provide a report as well. Talk about how the organization is doing, what our goals are, what we are working on, things like that, so that everybody can participate in that. And we are very excited about this event. I take a lot of pride in trying to put together an event that drives us into being motivated for the next year. I don't know if I hit it every time, but that's the point. Let's fill our cups at this meeting before we go back into the real world, so to speak. Our sponsorship opportunities are still open. If anybody would like to sponsor, we would love to have you, and you can reach out to me via my email or our office number. So, sorry, that was a really long spill, but I'm very excited about this event.
Again, you can find out more online at plainscotton.org. Kara Bishop is with Plains Cotton Growers on today's Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Kara Bishop with Plains Cotton Growers.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Special guest, Kara Bishop, Plains Cotton Growers, online, plainscotton.org. stonehex.org.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
CattleCon's headed to San Antonio, February 4th through 6th, 2025, where farmers and ranchers gather to shape our industry's future. Remember, if you ain't at the table, you might just be on the menu. Check out the latest in ranching at the Texas-sized NCBA trade show. Network, learn, and grow your operation. Don't miss this chance to steer the cattle biz in San Antonio, where the Alamo spirit lives on. Visit convention.ncba.org to get registered. CattleCon 2025, where the beef industry meets.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
The latest USDA Census of Agriculture subsurvey project awaiting response involves the area of horticulture specialties. As Lance Hoenig of the National Agricultural Statistics Service explains,
we're talking about floriculture, horticulture, nursery type crops, sod, food crops grown under glass. That's kind of the space that we're really talking about here.
Eligible producers have until February 14th to return their completed surveys, either by mail or online.
Once we see where we're at that point, we'll determine whether or not we need to do any additional follow-on to fill in some gaps, because the overall goal is to have a product published in December of this year. So it's a reasonably quick turnaround, considering how large and how in-depth this data collection effort is.
I'm Rod Bain, reporting in Washington, D.C.